is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. Welcome, Alan.
Sure. One of the things I find within a lot of companies is there's much missed opportunity, which I'm sure you two are well aware of. And I'm going to give you some case studies as we kind of talk through here, because it's easy for me to talk through different examples of the ways that I've done that for different companies. So I'll give you an example of a coach certification company that I had as a consulting client. They were an 8-figure company. They sold a product that was a program that was $10,000, certification program for $10,000. They were driving 3,600 leads a month into their business from paid advertising and referrals. They had a booking team, people that would book appointments for their sales team, and then they had a sales team. The booking team could only get to about 400 or 500 of these leads to book them, right? And the rest of the leads just kind of went by the wayside. And if people were persistent on requesting an appointment, then they would step in.
Do them the favor of calling them back.
Exactly. Yeah. So I structured a way for them to get the cream of the crop to raise their hand first. So all these leads were coming in, and we put them through a funnel that literally qualified the people out, figured out where they were within their buying cycle, et cetera, where they were from a qualification standpoint, and put those leads to the booking team first, and then the other leads would be followed up if they had time to follow up. Otherwise, they went into a follow-up sequence. What that did for the company was to give them their best sales period ever. They had a 4-month sales period. But more importantly, over time, it reduced their sales cycle from 46 weeks down to 13 weeks.
Wow.
Which is massive when you're doing paid advertising, you're obviously churning money. So that's an example, Jennifer, of some of the things I do for the company.
So how would our diehards do that if they wanted to create a funnel with the best of the best leads?
Sure. So if they've already got traffic, which is great, then we drive people into a specific landing page that invites them into a conversation. And from that invite, which will be very, very relevant to what they have the most need for, and I'm going to backtrack on that in a moment with another campaign that I put in for companies, then we take them through a qualification page, take people through a qualification page. And the qualification page makes sure that we get a lot of the questions out of the way first in who we want to work with specifically. And if they answer the questions right, then they're going to end up at the top of the list for an appointment. Now, that's one way if they've got existing traffic. If they've got an existing database, what we'll do is we'll segment the database and we we categorize it in the best sellers first, and we structure it in a kind of a tier downward so that they will have a 6 to 8 week mailing cycle, and they can mail through the database of the best prospect possible and keep putting them into this funnel that then takes them through qualification, that then puts them into a situation where they can have a conversation. Salespeople are happier because they're getting qualified leads. They tend to get more sales. They might end up with less, slightly less appointments, but because they're not dealing with a bunch of tire kickers or people that they can't sell because they didn't qualify, then they feel more confident in themselves to be able to sell.
Diehards, say hello to Bob Burt.
Well, years and years ago, I had a book called Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales.
Which I own it, and I own an autographed copy of it.
Yes, you do. I've seen
it. You're in it. Actually, in the 2005 edition, the third edition, you're in there as one of the sales examples that I point people to. And it was a how-to book, though. You know, and it did well. It sold about 300,000 copies or so, and it's been a good ride. But it was very how-to-ish, and And throughout the years, I've always enjoyed reading parables. Have always enjoyed feeling like you could connect with the story and really get something out of it. And I thought, wouldn't it be a cool idea if we could take the basic premise of endless referrals, which basically is that all things being equal, or even close enough to equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust, and put that into a parable form. So I asked myself the question, in choosing a title, which we know is important, what is the main characteristic of a person who's able to cultivate those kind of relationships both quickly and sustainably? And the answer is they're always giving value to others. Their focus is on bringing value to others. So we came up with the name the Go-Giver, which a lot of people think is opposite of a go-getter, but it really isn't, because we love go-getters too, because go-getters are people who take action.
You know, the Go-Getter is a book from the 20s, right?
You know something? I found that out. Oh, the Go-Getter. Well, yeah. The Go by Peter Kind. Oh, that was a great book. I love that book. Yeah. And, but there was also one that I think called The Go-Giver, which was written like even before then. I felt embarrassed because I wouldn't have.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's okay.
Embarrassment has nothing to do with solid using other people's ideas to get it to the next level. There's nothing wrong with that.
Their book, it was called The Go-Giver, but it was like something totally. Kind of totally different.
It was about tithing or something.
And so we love go-getters, okay? And so we want people to be go-getters, people of action, and go-givers, people who are focused on creating value for others, for the marketplace. What we don't want is for people to be go-takers. Those are the people. And I think that's what Napoleon Hill was really referring to.
Exactly.
The day of the go-getter. He really meant the day of the go-taker, because he's all about being a giver.
I will tell you, it's remarable how truthful living is going to ring with you.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's all about you earn in proportion to what you give. You earn in proportion to what you serve. You earn in proportion to what you put into something. You get exactly out of it what you put into it.
So I classify people as either givers and takers all the time, whether I should or shouldn't. It's like so natural to me to think about it. Do you think people are born as givers, or do you think it's something that they learn over time?
You know, I think like anything else, it's a combination of such. It's like any great athlete. You know, they were born with natural talent and ability, gross motor and small motor control, sure. But unless they're in the batting cage practicing, they're not going to be as good a hitter.
Totally 100%
so
agree.
So what would you say to someone who wants to be a giver but doesn't really know where to start?
Well, first, and I think it's more than just being a giver, because it's focusing on, you know, we would say the basic premise of the Go-Giver, Jen, is simply that shifting your focus, and this is the key, shifting your focus from getting to giving. Again, when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others, and understanding that doing so is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, it's the most financially profitable way as well. Okay. So I think that a person, yes, they want to focus on being a giver, but they also remember law five of that story is the law of receptivity. We've mm-hmm. also got to be able to receive that which we've earned through providing value to the marketplace. This is why we say that money is simply an echo of value. And so I think for someone to then, you know, to say, okay, well, I'm going to move to this kind of way of being and way of conducting myself, way of selling, they need to first understand why it's in their best interest to do so. Again, if they're not someone who has a natural inclination to doing so. So, for example, you know, a lot of times I'll say to my audience, how many of you agree with the following statement? Nobody is going to buy from you because you have a quota to mm-hmm. meet. Right? And we all laugh because we know that's true. They're not going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet, because you need the money, or even because you're a really, really nice person.
Right, exactly.
They're going to buy from you because they believe they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And in a free market based economy, which is what we live in, free market simply meaning no one is forced to do business with one another. That's the only reason why they should buy from you. What this does, which is great, is it makes it so the entrepreneur or the sales professional needs to place the interests of the other person first, not mm-hmm. in a self-sacrificial way, not in a martyrish or doormatty way, no, but as a way of understanding that you're tapping into human nature. We need to be the one that communicates that value to that person. So once someone understands this, now they're much more likely to take that on.
This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.